Right eye dominant.
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 This is the Right Eye Dominant Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Right Eye Dominant Podcast. I am your host, Nick Toro Jr. For today's episode, I'm flying solo, and I'd like to cover a topic which unfortunately rears its ugly head quite often in the world of photography. I want to talk about what is off limits as far as taking photographs, and not just subject matter, but more so, what are the limits set upon a photographer where they need to decide what is right and what is wrong in their photographic approach. The reason why I'm thinking about this now is I recently came across an article in the New York Times, and it was about a photographer who photographed his neighbors across the street in New York City through their windows with a telephoto lens unbeknownst to them. And it raised a lot of issues about privacy, about access, about art versus commerce. Who owns their identity? What are your expectations to privacy when you're in public? And what are they when you're in the privacy of your own home? So that's the launching point for today's exploration. And I'll talk about a number of photographers who have wandered into the gray zone of what is off limits in photography. So that's the topic for today's episode. Thank you for joining me. And now let's get into the discussion, off limits. So if we're talking about what are the limits of what is fair game for a photographer to capture with their camera, I think we need to look at the whole idea of what is public and what is private. And it's generally understood that you give up your right to privacy when you are out in public. And what that means is if you're walking down the street and someone takes a photograph of you, there's really not too much that you can do about it. Now, one could say that it is the photographer's responsibility to have respect for their subject, or at least be clear about the fact that they are taking a photograph of somebody on the street in public. However, that's not always the case. And there's plenty of examples of candid photography being done under the guise of street photography. And of course, then that migrates its way into the gallery and museum world. And it really puts the responsibility on the photographer to set their own moral or ethical parameters of what they think is okay and not okay to do with the camera in a public arena. Most of the time, photographs are fairly innocuous. They're just people in motion or in crowds. Something that's going to catch a photographer's eye against the backdrop of an urban background. And to me, there's plenty of examples of that. And they show a varying degree of success or interest, at least as a photograph. However, if we go one step beyond that, what if you are setting up lights in a public place and photographing with a telephoto lens? So your subject is now, not only are they well lit, but they're lit by you as the photographer. And they're not aware that their photograph is even being taken because you're using a telephoto lens. Now, legally, that's okay. And how do I know this? Well, there's a photographer named Philip Lorca de Corsia who did a whole series on the streets of New York called Heads, where that was exactly his approach to the photographs. And he says himself he never met the people in person. He never spoke with them. He never got their permission, and he never paid them. The photographs from this series ended up in a gallery and also part of a brochure for that gallery show. And the photographer was then sued by one of the people that were featured in the show. The case then went through several rounds in the courts, and each time the photographer was found not guilty, he was free to take the photos that he took and use them the way that he was using them. But one has to ask, is it ethical that he did that? If you look at the photographs themselves, I would say that they were all shown in no pun intended, a good light. No one was necessarily in a compromised position, and there was something about the fact that they weren't aware that they were being photographed that makes these portraits so compelling, I think. So in this case, one could say that the photographer not only had the right to take those pictures, but I believe we're within the limits of what is ethical. But what about if you're photographing somebody in their home through their window, an open window, not obscured by a shade or a curtain, and they have no knowledge that you're taking that photograph? Is it ethically okay for you to take these photographs? Is it legally okay for you to take these photographs and then print and display them in a museum or a gallery? This specific situation is what I had recently seen covered in the New York Times, which was the impetus for this episode. The photographer's name is Arnie Svensson, and he did just what I described. He lived in New York City in an apartment building, and he had gotten his hands on a telephoto lens, and he was just kind of testing it out, and then pointed it to the building that was right across the street, and he noticed that he could get clear views into the windows of his neighbors. And so this series then took off from there. And these photographs, if you look at them, they definitely have a beautiful quality to them as far as the lighting and the composition. And these are very unguarded moments. Yet, none of the subjects featured in the photographs, none of these people knew that they were having their photographs taken. And so where does that line get drawn? Are these photographs appropriate? Was it ethical for the photographer to take these photos? Was it legal? Again, this led to lawsuits. And again, the photographer, because he was creating art, was found not guilty of invasion of privacy. And one could say that this kind of behavior probably goes on in big cities more often than not. However, there's a difference between a voyeuristic peeping in on somebody with your own eyes versus using a telephoto lens to capture them in a photograph. I would say that this crosses a line, certainly one that I don't think I would personally undertake. And I think that when you're in your home, regardless of if someone can find a way to look inside your window or not, you have an expectation of privacy. And certainly, if someone is taking your photograph and planning on showing it in an exhibit, in a gallery or museum, that perhaps it would be part of their due diligence to contact you personally and get your permission to show those photographs. But legally, those parameters are not in place. So again, where do we draw the line? What is off limits in this situation? This is nothing new in photography, and certainly if you go back throughout the history of the medium, you will see that numerous photographers have struggled or challenged the whole idea of taking candid photos, taking photos without the subject knowing they were having their photos taken. One of the most noteworthy series that falls into this voyeuristic hidden camera approach is by the great American photographer Walker Evans. And on a series that he shot in the New York City subway, Evans had a hidden camera inside his jacket, and he was photographing the people that were sitting across from him, everyday commuters, with no knowledge that they were having their photographs taken. again, this is a public space, and your right to privacy in that space is not guaranteed. However, the people sitting across from Walker Evans did not know they were having their photographs taken. I have to say that Walker Evans' series, the photographs are absolutely beautiful. Not only do they act as a time capsule now, decades later, of what everyday commuters looked like in New York City, but most of the subjects are lost in their own world, either dazed or sleeping or looking off into the distance. And there's this introspection that's on display in these photographs that probably wouldn't have been achievable had the subjects known they were having their picture taken. So again, the argument is, was it okay that Walker Evans took these photographs? Was it okay that they got displayed? Was it okay that the subjects never knew they were being photographed, nor were they compensated for those pictures? I think as photographers, as artists, just as human beings, these are things that we need to ponder when we're creating our work or we're out in public and we're looking at other people and what their behavior is and whether it's okay to make photographs and share them in these instances. Another photographer who heads into that gray area and perhaps beyond the gray area of what is appropriate is a photographer named Miroslav Tichy. Tichy was a very complex and interesting character. He lived in what was at the time known as Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic, during the middle of the 20th century. He lived mostly as a hermit by himself in conditions that most would describe as squalor. Tichy was a photographer. He would create his own cameras. He would build his own cameras out of scrap metal and pieces of glass and tubes and then load film into these cameras. And then he would wander the small town that he was living in. And he would take photographs of people in town, mostly women, mostly in a manner that some would describe as creepy or being a peeping Tom. Often the subjects did not know they were being photographed. Oftentimes they were either in compromised positions or suggestive positions or wearing bathing suits at a public pool. If you look at these photographs, I think that there's a tension between the crude approach rendered by the homemade camera, but also then how he approached his subject matter. And he was known around town to be a bit of a creeper and was often having confrontations either with local citizens or even the police for doing the kind of work he was doing, taking the kind of pictures he was taking. Yet again, if you were in the public realm, your right to privacy really doesn't exist. And it's on then the photographer to decide what is ethically okay and not okay to take pictures of. There is some argument whether Tichy was, you know, clear enough in his mind to even be able to decide what those limits were. However, you look at these photographs and they do have this dreamlike quality to them due to the fact that he was using these handmade devices and crude methods to make the images. And then add to the fact that his subjects most often had no idea they were being photographed. From an artistic standpoint, they are beautiful objects. And when we're looking at photographs like this, do we suspend our moral compass, let's say, and just be able to react to these images as art objects, independent of how they were created in the first place? And while we're on the subject of whether someone is in the right frame of mind or able to decide what is right or wrong about taking a photograph, let's flip it to subject matter. Is it okay to photograph a homeless person or somebody on the sidewalk strung out on drugs who might not be in the clear state of mind to even consent to having their photograph taken? Again, these are issues that a photographer needs to consider before they make a photo, or certainly before they show a photo that they've made in this situation. So no discussion of what is off limits in photography would be complete without talking about New York photographer Bruce Gilden. Gilden would wander the streets, camera and flash in hand, and he would confront people passing him by with his camera, taking pictures, startling his subjects. And there is something that's really compelling when you look at the photographs that Bruce Gilden creates using this method. The garish lighting created by using a flash during daytime, along with the shock and surprise evident on the subject's face, creates this energized image created on the very public streets of New York City. And again, you're in a public place and you're not in an environment where one would have privacy. But you're also not necessarily expecting to be startled by a big man with a camera and a flash shoved in your face. So again, there's the dilemma there. What is okay and what is not okay to photograph? Where do those limits begin and end? And while we're on the subject of privacy on the streets, if you go to any big city, certainly New York City or London, those two cities are notorious for being just covered, blanketed with surveillance cameras. And what are those images, or what is that footage being used for? Who is looking at those images compared to an artist or photographer who's working on a very specific body of work? What are our rights to privacy when it comes to surveillance? These are all things that are very pressing issues and very prescient, I would say. Certainly post 9/11, a lot of privacy just went out the window, and we're living with the results of that on a daily basis. The last topic on this subject that I'd like to talk about is the idea of your right to privacy or protecting your identity or your appearance when it comes to social media. And any of the issues that were challenging photographers in the past, as far as sharing photographs or displaying them in a gallery or in a magazine, is now amplified because a photograph taken by anybody, really, shared on a social media platform, oftentimes takes on a life of its own. And so, what are our protections against that kind of sharing? What are our rights to our likeness and privacy when the lines really get blurred in the world of social media? There are numerous examples of people that are behaving badly in public by either acting inappropriately, making racial comments, sexist comments, or just doing something that's flat out illegal. And now their likeness and their behavior is being shared across social media platforms. And it's happening at such a rate that these things get viral and just take on a life of their own. And in some ways, as far as a social contract is concerned, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe some of us need to be reminded that if we're doing bad things in public, that there's a good chance that it could be documented and shared. At the same time, there have been examples of people that were behaving in public in a way that a video may show or a photo may show them doing something wrong or inappropriate, but that photo or video is taken out of context and we don't know what led up to that behavior or what happens afterwards. And so we have to take this kind of imagery, I think, with a grain of salt. It gets very complicated maybe more so now than ever, to determine where that line gets drawn of what I take a photograph of, what I make a video of, how I share it, and what are the repercussions of that. So how does it apply to the subject I'm discussing, the limits of shooting and sharing? I'm not really sure. Like I said, I think it's a good thing to know that, well, you know, if you're going to act like an asshole in public, there's a good chance that someone's going to be taking a photo of you. So maybe think twice about behaving that way. And how does the current reality of everyone carrying a camera on their phone, everyone, for all intents and purposes, being a photographer, how does that impact the work of an artist, a photographer, who are making work in the public arena with the intention of showing it as fine art? Ultimately, the question is, where do you draw the line? It's also, at its base, I believe, a moral dilemma that each of us has to consider when we're dealing with this kind of material. And I think the barometer that I would use is, would I share a photograph of somebody seen in a way that I wouldn't want myself to be seen by others? And I think that's ultimately what each of us has to think about. So there you go, folks. That's today's episode, all about what are the limits, what are the ethical limits, what are the moral limits, what are the legal limits that are placed upon a photographer when they're out in the world taking photographs of other people. And whether we realize it or not, there does come a responsibility to make that ethical call for yourself. Or maybe someone will make that call for you. I will, of course, share links to all of the photographers and all of the works that I mentioned in the episode, so you can take a closer look and decide for yourself where the limits lie in each case. I'd love to hear what you think about this topic. If you have any thoughts, please go to my website, righteyedominantpodcast.com, and scroll down. At the bottom of that very long page is a place where you could leave comments and send me messages, and I would love to hear from you, not only on this topic, but any other that you may be thinking about in relation to the podcast. So that's it for today. I want to thank you for listening. This has been the Right Eye Dominant Podcast. I have been your host, Nick Toro Jr. And until next time, stay well.
This podcast has been a production of righteyedominant.art. The music for this episode has been brought to you by The Conic Project, Yazar, and The White Plains.